Our readings today for the second Sunday of Advent, our first Old Testament lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 11, beginning at the first verse. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Our New Testament lesson is the epistle from the book of Romans, chapter 15, beginning at the fourth verse. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing hook is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, Christmas, just 21 days away. No, I haven't finished my shopping either. So you get yours done, I'll get mine done. But there's more to getting ready for Christmas than simply making sure that all the presents are bought. A lot more. Now, the giving of presents isn't a bad thing. Retailers love it. But it's not a bad thing for a different reason. The giving of presents is good because the whole concept of giving gifts at Christmas began because of the great present that God gave us on the first Christmas. He gave us Jesus, the best gift ever given. And since Jesus isn't here to give presents to on his birthday, we present presents to one another. And that's a good thing, for it's a good thing to simply give. Giving is a God thing, and that makes it a good thing. But there's another kind of giving that would be good for us to think about this morning. And it begins with a man by the name of John. Not you, Shun. John the Baptist. John was born to an older couple. A couple who had tried for years to have a baby to no avail. But in time, when people had concluded Elizabeth to be beyond childbearing years, she did conceive. But there's a little more to the story. Her husband, Zechariah, was a priest. One of the assigned functions of the priests was to make sure that the incense on the altar of incense never stopped burning. And because this table or this altar of incense was located immediately in front of the Holy of Holies, it was an honor to carry out this function. Further, by this time in Israel's existence, there were so many descendants of Aaron, because all the male descendants of Aaron were automatically priests. There were so many descendants of Aaron that the priests were chosen by lot. Some priests never had this honor. They were so numerous. But this time it fell to Zechariah. And while he was carrying out his duties, the angel Gabriel appeared to him and told him that his wife would conceive. She would have a baby boy, and that he was to be named John. But that's not all the angel said. Take a look. He will be great in the sight of the Lord, Gabriel said, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many people in Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And shortly thereafter, 9, 10 months, something like that, John was indeed born to Elizabeth and Zechariah. He grew up. We believe that more than likely he was connected to the Essenes, a very conservative religious sect that lived away from the cities and the population centers. Now, we don't know how it came about, but we do know that John began to preach in the wilderness, and that the people in the cities and the towns actually left their cities and towns, traveled out into the wilderness where John was preaching, listened to him, and presented themselves to him for baptism, repenting of their sins and seeking to devote themselves to following God afresh.
In time, as we heard in today's gospel lesson, even some Sadducees and Pharisees went out to be baptized by John. And while you'd think John would be overjoyed to see them repent and be baptized, John had a most interesting response when they showed up. This is how Matthew puts it. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." Huh. Interesting. You know, I don't think Dale Carnegie, Robert Shuler, Tony Robbins, Joel Osteen, or any other purveyors of positivity, none of those guys would approve of the way John handled this thing. After all, you know, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were the two largest religious sects within Judaism. You would think John would be happy that they were getting the picture. But what audacity John had. But John called them as he saw them. And the key thing that he said was that last sentence up there. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. So maybe next Sunday, when I greet you, I'll say, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee the comforts of your home and come to the house of God?" And then after communion, I can say, "Now produce fruit in keeping with repentance." But you know, what if I did do that? Well, I kind of tipped you off, so it wouldn't be a huge shock. But it would if I hadn't tipped you off. But that's what John did. That's what he said. He called them out. You see, John was called by God to a very specific thing, a very specific ministry. He was given the anointing of the Holy Spirit from the time of his birth, really before his birth, to shape him and prepare him for the mantle of prophet that God would put upon him. And with that mantle of prophet, he went and he preached. And it was a hard word that God gave to him to preach because the people needed to repent. You see, God sent John to prepare the people for the Messiah. When people are repentant, they are then in a frame of mind and in the right spirit to receive the thing God has for them. The thing He knows they need. And in that moment in history, the thing that was needed was the Savior. Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, was finally coming to the world. For centuries, the Israelites have been waiting and waiting for the Deliverer to come. And while the majority of Jews thought the Messiah would deliver them from the Romans who occupied their land, God sent John to bring people to repentance so that they could see that their greatest need was not freedom from the Romans, but rather freedom from the consequences of their sin and victory over death, which is exactly what Jesus came to bring. And John was getting him ready. So John did get as many people ready as possible. In fact, Matthew tells us that John was the one Isaiah prophesied about centuries before. This is what Matthew records from Isaiah. "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for Him.'" So John fulfilled his ministry. Jesus came and fulfilled his ministry of teaching and healing and casting out demons, culminating in his death on the cross in payment for the sins of humankind, and then rising from the dead, conquering death, both for himself and for you and for me and for all who hold faith in him. And then he went back to heaven. And one day He will come again. And He will bring judgment on this sinful world, and He will remake this world into the Eden it once had been. And when that happens, when that Eden is restored, then will be fulfilled what we heard from Isaiah this morning. The wolf will lie with the lamb, the leopard lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together. A cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. An infant will play in the cobra's den, and a young child will put his hand into the viper's nest, obviously without any repercussions. What a day that will be. But now, we are in the in-between time. The time between the ascension of Jesus back into heaven and His triumphant and majestic and powerful return. And there has been a passing of the mantle. And there's just a hint of this right in the gospel lesson this morning. Here's what we heard. John said, "I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Now this one who came after John was, of course, Jesus. And what does John say that he will do? He says that while he baptized with water for repentance, the Messiah would baptize people with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that very act of baptizing in the Holy Spirit and fire began just 10 days after Jesus ascended back up into heaven. The day of Pentecost arrived. The followers of Jesus who were in Jerusalem at that time gathered together, and suddenly there was a violent rush of wind, and there appeared over their heads fires that danced there, and they all began to speak in tongues, languages they had never learned nor studied. People heard the commotion. It drew a crowd. In that crowd were people from all over the known world come to Jerusalem for the Pentecost festival. They heard these common, uneducated Galileans declaring the wonders of God in their native language. It was a miracle. And that miracle gave Peter the opportunity to tell the people about what Jesus had done through His death and resurrection, and 3,000 people received faith in Jesus right on the spot. Do you know what the day of Pentecost was? It was a passing of the mantle. Long, long before this day, centuries and centuries and centuries ago, there was a prophet by the name of Elijah. As Elijah was nearing the end of his ministry, God led him to seek out a young man by the name of Elisha, whom God had chosen to succeed Elijah. When Elijah found Elisha, Elisha was behind a pair of oxen plowing a field with 11 other teams in front of him. Elijah went up to him and simply threw his cloak over the shoulders of Elisha. He didn't say a thing. Just threw his cloak around him. And Elisha knew instantly what was going on. He took the oxen home, slaughtered them, offered them on an altar to God as a sacrifice, said goodbye to mom and dad, and set off following Elijah. The baton had been passed. The mantle of anointing had been donned by Elisha. When Jesus poured out His Spirit on the disciples on Pentecost, it was a passing of the mantle. the mantle of responsibility of making the victory of Jesus over death and the grave known to the people of the world. And think about how effective that anointing was. After 3.5 years of ministry, Jesus, by the end of his ministry, had maybe 1,000 serious followers. Now, in one day, with the anointed mantle of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 became followers of Jesus. At the beginning of this message, when talking about giving, I said, there's another kind of giving that would be good for us to think about this morning. That giving is the gift of eternal life. You and I have in our possession the key to eternal life. You know, Ponce de Leon sailed across the entire Atlantic Ocean, tromped through the swamps of Florida, the alligator and snake-infested swamps in search of the so-called Fountain of Youth. People do all manner of things in an effort to keep from aging. One of the reasons they do that, among others, is that they're afraid of growing old and dying. You and I hold the message that can free them from that fear. You and I hold the message that brings new and eternal life to those who will receive it. Again, I said that there is another kind of giving that would be good for us to consider this morning. And that giving is the gift of faith in Jesus, resulting in the forgiveness of every sin, adoption into God's holy and royal family, the gift of life everlasting in the perfection and wonder of heaven, and God's help in this hurtful world day in and day out. The question is, are you willing to don the mantle? God gave you this mantle when you received faith in His Son, when He placed His Holy Spirit to dwell in you. Like John, you too have been anointed with the Holy Spirit for this very purpose. But are you willing to don that mantle every day? Are you willing and desiring to put on the mantle of God's anointing and equipping so that you can not only live in ways consistent with your faith in Christ, but are you also willing to receive the Spirit's equipping so that you can speak of Jesus? Giving the gift of eternal life to those God brings your way. We may give gifts to others this Christmas in brightly wrapped packages and presents, and that's good! That's good. But may we be even more eager to give the gift of eternal life to others. We hold the message. That's the gift. And may we do it, but not just on Christmas. Amen.